So I'm sitting across from the executive there at ABC, and before the meeting even starts, she reaches across, she grabs my hand, and she says, Chad, I want to ask you a question. Do you take Ambien? And I was like, this bitch right here.
He was only a good vice president because he understood how to kiss Barack Obama's ass.
You know, the Bible says that teachers are going to give an account for every word. So I'm a podcaster, Jesus. I'm not a teacher. I'm a podcaster. I'm just a podcaster, man. I personally have had nothing put in my body. I'm still unveed. Okay. I am still a vaccine virgin when it comes to that. Nobody has penetrated me. All right. With the exception of getting some testosterone pellets every 4 months so I can get hair on my back.
Out. He's fired. He's fired.
The Democrats used to be the Republicans and the Republicans used to be the Democrats. There's a word for that. It's a compound word. Bullshit. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. We've done a lot of episodes of the Chad Prather Show. Shatter and I were just talking about where we are on the map to 1,000. I think I've now done 1,000 episodes of the Chad Prather Show. This is the 8th year I've done it. You know, I started this thing with Podcast One out of Beverly Hills. Let me tell you that story. So my old agent, I'm not my old agent, my old manager, Arthur Spivak. Arthur Spivak is a Hollywood guy who pretty much retired now. He had, Shai, do you know who Paul Reiser is? Did you ever see the old show Mad About You with Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt? It was on forever. He managed Paul Reiser for 23 years. And Paul Reiser back in the, you know, 80s, 90s, 90s especially, was top of the world. But he managed Paul Reiser. They got that sitcom on. It was huge, massive. It's a classic, still on. And Arthur managed people from like Prince and Madonna and all these people in the music industry. Arthur, here's where Arthur, it was a funny story about Arthur. Prince came out with his first album and it was massive and just took over the world. And then Prince came out with a second album and Arthur said, you can't release this, it's crap. Can you imagine telling Prince that it's crap? And so they got rid of Arthur, because that's what happens when you're honest to somebody in Hollywood. And so they got rid of Arthur, and guess what? Nobody remembers that album. It basically doesn't exist anymore. It was crap. Arthur was right. And then he had several different bands. God, he was just an encyclopedia of people that he worked with in the music industry. And then he got with Paul Reiser and started doing a lot of comedy. He had tons of comedy, a lot of urban comics as well. And so one day I was out in L.A. We were shooting a show back when I was with the old Ride TV and I was doing the travel show. This little history of Chad here. We'll just make this little Chad moment as I walk down memory lane. Now, look at all the Chads on the back of this computer, by the way. Look at all these. Go back to camera two there, Chad. Look at all this stuff people have got. So you got a Chad Prather sticker here. You got another Chad Prather show. You got Chad Prather for governor. You got the all-access vinyl pass from last year. You got the Ragamuffins. I can't even do it on the right side. A lot of Chad Prather around here. So I was out in L.A. doing that show with Ride TV, the old cable show, the Equestrian Lifestyle Network. It was sort of like Bravo for horses. And I hosted a show called It's My Backyard. They sent me all over the country to these real strange equine events. You know, people out there trying to kill themselves on horses, everything from polo to stagecoach races. I mean, it was insane what people would do out there. You know, they would get me on a polo horse. I'll never forget, we'd go out there with the stuntmen. I got shot off of horses. I got drugged behind horses. You know, we learned how to, you know, jump up on horses like that you see them do in the movies. It's not an easy thing to do. And so we did all these fun things. Met some really cool people for several seasons of that. We were out in Hollywood, and it was a movie premiere that we were covering, red carpet event, a lot of famous people, people like Jane Seymour. If you go out there and search the internet, you'll find videos of me, like, interviewing Jane Seymour on the red carpet. And, you know, there I am with Dr. Quinn and, you know, for you younger kids, people like Jeff Probst, who is the host of Survivor for 9,000 seasons. And so just tons of celebrities, all this kind of stuff. We were out there for movie premieres. And I get this message on Facebook private message from this guy says, hey, I'm this was back in like 2015 or 16. He goes, I'm management, tells me who it is. It turns out it's Arthur, because I at the time I would get all of these requests to do work with me. And like, I was a big deal back then, Shy. I was a big deal, dude. Not anymore. I was a big deal back then. I was a major player in the scene. Not really, but you know, I don't want anybody being misled here. So anyway, the rest is history. I was with Arthur for a number of years. We ended up pitching sitcoms to all the major networks, everybody but NBC. Like, NBC was the only network that would refuse to take meetings with me. I'll never forget, we went to ABC. I'd written a sitcom idea. We went out to ABC, and we're sitting across the table from the executives to pitch this television show idea that I had written. And that was right at the time when Roseanne Barr had made the comment about Valerie Jarrett being from the Planet of the Apes, and then she got canceled off of Roseanne because they said she was racist. You know, she was picking on black people, which Valerie Jarrett's not black. And then Roseanne kind of walked it back later on, and she said she didn't know what she was doing because she was on Ambien, which I'm like, you know, I mean, you look at Valerie Jarrett. She definitely does look very, you know, like she could be opposite Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes. But they'll dig that piece up, Shy, and they'll cancel me one day. I just want to have something worth canceling. I don't have that yet. I'm not important enough. So I'm sitting across from the executive there at ABC, and before the meeting even starts, she reaches across, she grabs my hand, and she says, Chad, I want to ask you a question. Do you take Ambien? And I was like, this bitch right here, like, I can't believe you just put me in the same conservative bubble as Roseanne, and you're wanting to know if I'm going to be canceled before you even give me an opportunity. And I was like, that's some trash. But anyway, yeah, I guess I could be lumped into worse groups than with Roseanne. But we did that. So Arthur, I think he's pretty much retired at this point. You know, it has been a wild ride. He brought me out to L.A., to Beverly Hills, to meet with the late Norm Pattis. Norm started Westwood One Radio and then started Podcast One. Norm was, you know, he did a bunch of stuff, billionaire. And if you were ever watching the Lakers game and there's Jack Nicholson on the court, you would look next to him and there's Norm Pattis, you know, a couple of seats down. So Norm went out, met with the people at Podcast One. And they gave me a podcast, and we sat there. It took literally 3 minutes. They said, what do you want to call it? And I was sitting there thinking, trying all these names. And Arthur said, you're going to call it the Chad Prather Show. And I said, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't like my name on stuff. Like, I don't like my name on T-shirts. I don't, you know, it just makes me feel weird. Like, why would anybody want my name to do anything? People mispronounce it. They say Prather all the time. It's Prather. I never correct anybody. My father always did it. I didn't do it. And so I said, are you sure about that? And he goes, yep, it's going to be the Chad Prather Show. So we started with Podcast One. We did a year there. The Blaze came along. At the time, it was CRTV. And CRTV, we pushed back for like 7 months, and they finally signed a contract with them. 2 days later, I'm walking through a Walmart, and my buddy Gaston Mooney, who's the president of Blaze now, he was the president of CRTV then, calls me up and he says, hey, just want to let you know, we're the Blaze now. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me, dude. 7 months I negotiated contract with you guys. And now I'm going to be associated with Glenn Beck, who everybody was pissed at Glenn at the time because he stuffed his face in the bowl of Cheetos and made fun of Donald Trump, you know. And everybody was pissed. Everybody on the right was pissed at Glenn. And so I was like, great, I'm going to be lumped in with that. There were a lot of people who left over that merger, like Michelle Malkin. I don't know that Bongino pulled away because of that. I think at the time, Dan Bongino had just gotten so big, it was time for him to do his own thing. But yeah, so the rest is history. We did, God, I don't know, how many did you count over there? 950 something episodes with the Blaze. That's a lot of talking, dude. You know, the Bible says that teachers are going to give an account for every word. So I'm a podcaster, Jesus. I'm not a teacher. I'm a podcaster. I'm just a podcaster, man. And I'm going to get myself in trouble. I've been sitting here looking at my computer because I'm looking at this article. Hey, guys, you know, the price of gold is at a near all-time high, but many analysts think that we're just on the front end of a major wave of growth. And a lot of people are worried that there could be a real problem ahead for the U.S. dollar. Now, you've seen hyperinflation before, and it's certainly possible we could see it happen again here in America. If something like that were to happen, it's possible we could return to an economy run on gold and silver. It's more likely than you think. Your dollar bills would be basically worthless. And that's exactly why United Patriot Coin has created the Gold and Silver Patriot pack. Each Patriot pack is a pre-made bundle of small-sized silver and gold pieces, making it a perfect way to start building up your stack of precious metals for barter and exchange. It can also serve as a long-term store of value that's more inflation-proof than the U.S. dollar. Now, what you're going to get in the Patriot pack is 2 1-ounce silver buffalo rounds. You're going to get 5 1-gram silver bars and 1-gram gold bar and a cloth bag to keep it all together. Now, United Patriot Coin has created a special discount just for my audience. You can get 10% off your first gold and silver Patriot pack by using promo code CHAD10, that's CHAD10, and since each piece has a relatively small value compared to standard units like a kilo of silver or an ounce of gold, each Patriot pack is basically a wallet full of small bills, so you can use a little at a time. It's pretty cool. You don't have to tap into your main stockpile. The Patriot pack is a great way to get started in precious metals, but United Patriot Coin can also help you build a real portfolio of gold and silver customized to your needs, whether that's for short-term barter and trade or long-term asset protection and growth. They can even help you invest in physical precious metals through an IRA rollover account. Shop online at UnitedPatriotCoin.com or call their office in Texas at 844-202-7834. Check them out, UnitedPatriotCoin.com. So at the time when you watch this or listen to this, this will be a couple of weeks since this came out. Let me give you some code words, okay? Let me give you some code words. Let's see how I can do this. So the medicine they did not want you to take during the vid, all right? Remember the pandemic? Remember the whole thing when it just shut the world down? The vid, we won't call it. It's COVID. We'll call it what it is. The vid. There was a medicine they didn't want you to take. They mocked you. They made fun of you. They said, oh, you guys are taking horse paste and horse dewormer. Ivermectin. We're going to call it IV. Ivermec. Well, the FDA a couple of weeks ago came out and said, okay, we're going to pull down all of our memes, all of our posts, everything that we use to mock people over ivermectin. Because I don't know if you remember or not. I'm sure you do. But the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, I mean, that's the government, was mocking American citizens for attempting certain types of self-treatment. And FDA conceded and said, we're gonna pull back on that. Now, I'm not going to give you any medical information because we've already had a 3-year strike. Not going to do that. So listen to me, Google gods. We're not going to do that to the overlords. I'm just saying that if I were in your shoes, folks, and you're out there stockpiling stuff, you know, you got some iodide for, you know, if there's nuclear fallout, you got some duct tape, you got a medical kit, you got a Jace case with some antibiotics in it. You got some extra syringes, some extra contact lenses, saline solution. You got some water, a purifying system. You've got some My Patriot Supply, preparewithchad.com. You got a little gold and silver bullion, which I'm going to talk about this bag here in a minute. Maybe you think about putting a little IV in the closet. You know what I'm saying? A little some of that dewormer, because I would think that your horses might need some help. You know, you might think about getting some of that, storing it up, because there's some speculation out there that some people overseas have actually been working on something in a certain laboratory, a laboratory in a place where I will not name. And they've speculated that, like, if this thing got launched and released, that maybe like 30% of people who contracted, said thing, that they'd die. That's quite a mortality rate. And I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but that $1.2 trillion omnibus bill, that horrible bill that the government just is signed into law, they had a little thing written into it that said that taxpayers are going to be funding that certain laboratory to keep doing its research. So we're literally using taxpayer dollars, American taxpayer dollars, to keep that going. And I'm just saying that you just got some shit up their sleeve and you might want to put some things in the pantry. All right. Now, it's dumb that we have to speak with all of these, you know, codes. But, you know, it's funny how everybody tends to walk back all of the stuff that they said during the plandemic. You see, they've already learned that they can control us. The general population. I personally have had nothing put in my body. I'm still unveed, okay? I am still a vaccine virgin when it comes to that. Nobody has penetrated me, all right? With the exception of getting some testosterone pellets every 4 months so I can get hair on my back and some zits that I haven't had since I was 18. Nobody's put anything in this body, okay? Nobody. So I'm free and clear, baby. But it's amazing all the stuff they've walked back now. You know, I've had people who've said, well, what did they walk back? Well, they've said that, you know, your bandana don't work around your face. They've said that, you know, there are some things that are comorbidities that contribute to mortality. They've said that there may be some side effects to doing a mass medical procedure on all humanity that just, you know, people are unique. They've said they handle the shutdowns wrong. They should not have distanced everybody. They shouldn't have, you know, kept grandma in prison there in the nursing home so she could die alone. All of these things. I mean, that article in The Atlantic that I love to refer to where that girl said, we need amnesty because we handled so many things wrong. Well, you get no amnesty from me, darling. No, no, no. You shut us down. I gave up 19 months of my life running for office on the fact and basis that right here in the state of Texas, we were developing and had produced the worst economy since the Great Depression, all because of a governor and a bureaucracy here in the state, which shut everything down. So I put my head in that meat grinder. I sacrificed quite a bit. That was by my choice, but I did. Not to mention the folks who didn't get to have a funeral, people that didn't get to marry. You know, they said, well, there were bodies stacked up in the morgue. Well, no shit. You wouldn't let people have funerals. You got to put the body somewhere, and that's where they were. Yeah, they were stacked up in the morgue because you wouldn't let them bury them. I'm taking a drink of my Celsius. I'm addicted to these things, Shy. One a day, baby. Shy is healthy. He's over there drinking his Topo Chico. But here we are. Here we are. They want you to just let it all go. Go on, Biscuit. Nobody likes you. What is it about little dogs? They all think that people like them. And, you know, here's the thing. And I want our producers to play this clip because the other day, Jill Biden, they always want to revise the history, man. And Jill Biden came out in a speech and she made a comment about Germany. She said before World War II, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. Play that clip. I want the producers to play that clip right here.
Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe.
Now, here's the problem with that. It didn't happen. That's not true. That is revisionist history. That is pandering. That is creating history to pander to an audience. You go and speak at a you know, LGBT community convention, and you're going to say stuff like that. And basically, you're saying, here's the results of that. Here's the consequences of that. You're going to say that Hitler came along, and because of the Holocaust, because of the genocide, because of the fascism that was implemented in Germany, that's where we're headed here too, because basically all the Nazi Germany eradicated the LGBTQ community, and the implication is that's what's going to happen here in America if conservatives, Republicans, and namely Donald Trump get back into power. That's the implication. So they're revising history, gaslighting a community of people, and saying that's what's going to happen if you're not careful. That's what they're going to do with the pandemic too. You understand? That's exactly what they're doing. They will always do that. They will try to make it like, well, you were wrong. You said all these things about this and you just don't remember how it was. You must not have known any. I get it every day. You just don't know anybody that died of COVID. Well, Technically, I don't know anybody that did. I know people who died from complications with it because they were diabetic or they had reduced immune system or they were overweight or they had respiratory illnesses and all those things. And they died with complications that led from that. There were some people who felt like death. And I'm not saying it was fake. I'm not saying it wasn't bad. It was bad. I mean, some people get the flu and die from it. It can be horrible. But they want to tell you, oh, you just must not have known anybody that had. You're so callous and you're so, no, I just remember what you did. And you can't revise history to change all of that stuff, all right? So I want you to stock up on some things. You know my code word. Oh, gosh. There's so much. I'm sitting here looking at this article about that horse paste. Anyway, you just look it up. Maybe we'll include it in our newsletter. If you're not a part of our newsletter, you need to go to thechadprathershow.com and sign up. What's that camera? Is that camera on right there? That one? Let me see that thing. Let me see. Is that camera working? Look at me from that angle. Let me see from this angle. Is that camera? Okay. I just want to make sure we're checking. We're good. I can see myself over there in the TV. I'm like a little guy over there, but I can't ever tell because right is left and left is right. So I'm backwards. Just like to make sure everything's working. All right. Speaking of revisionist history, before I get more into the revisionist history of stuff, because I was going somewhere with this. Look at this bag, Shai. You ask about this blue bag. So this bank bag here, I've got to clean it out. But this is gold and silver. Check this out. Come back here, silver. This is gold and silver. I don't know if you guys can see it. This is tons of bullion right here on the deal. UnitedPatriotCoin.com can help you. Like this is like just extra bags of silver. Like everything is a troy ounce. I got little pieces of gold in here. If you talk to those guys over at United Patriot Coin, they can help you with that. They're a huge partner with this show. I was talking to a guy the other day about this, and he said, what good does something like this do? There's a lot of things that you can do with this. And you say, well, I can't eat it. No, well, there's still value to it, and I promise you, gold and silver has been around since the beginning of time. It always holds some value. Trey Bowe, the president of United Patriot Coin, he was telling me a story about he was in some city somewhere and he had lost his wallet. So he didn't have his debit card, didn't have anything. And he needed to take a taxi somewhere. And he got the guy to give him a ride in exchange for $20 silver bullion. So that's other stuff you need to be putting up. You need to put some of this stuff up. You need to have some bullets. And I'm thinking about having these guys as a sponsor on the show. And I said, ooh, I've got to explain this to this new company. I said, I'm going to have to explain this to the audience. So this new company reached out to me, and they said, another investment strategy is investing in bullets. Have you ever heard of such? You invest in bullets. So what you do is you buy a stock of, say, like 9mm bullets, and they keep the bullets for you. Now, you can get them. You can cash in and get the bullets if you want. But the whole deal is you're buying into the valuation of bullets. Because you remember during the pandemic and COVID and all this, I mean, ammunition prices went through the roof. So like if you bought low, sold high, the same kind of deal. So it's like investing in gold and silver, but now you're investing in bullets. I was like, that's pretty creative. We need to talk. Because I know my audience, I know what they're going to say is, hell no, if I buy bullets, they're going to be in my hand. They're going to be in my pocket, in my closet, in my safe. That's not the point. You can buy bullets from them. But they're talking about investing in the value of bullets and what it goes. And so I thought that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So there's all kinds of things you guys need. You can be investing in. You can be stockpiling. I've always said little bottles of whiskey and 22 bullets, man. It could be currency one day. It could be currency. Let me just say this before I move on. They're going to try to shut you down again. They're going to do it. I'm just saying. So you better be ready. We got the solar eclipse coming. On the 8th, it's going to open like a portal to heaven. Like, we're going to see angels and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. What's going on? There's signs in the sky, man. Don't get lost in it. There's signs in the sky. There's wars and rumors of war. Jesus is coming back. Actually, he said that's not the sign. He said, don't get lost in that stuff. Nobody knows the time. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, I woke up this morning and I opened up my social media And there were three people that told me I was a racist. Now, Shai, everybody's blowing my phone up. They always wait till we're taping to blow my phone. They start calling. You're from Singapore. I don't have to run through the list of producers I've had. I've had Puerto Rican producers. I've had Mexican producers. I've had pasty white ass producers. I've had black producers. I've had Jamaican producers. I've had gay producers. I'm pretty spread out in the diversity thing. My DEI score should be far higher than what it probably is. We just had Zeke Arkham on the show. Zeke is a big dude, man. You know, he's such a big guy, and I love that dude so much. I've told everybody at the Blaze I need to have him on their show. But, you know, Zeke is a New York cop, and two of my kids went to New York City, went to Manhattan. They went to some Broadway shows, and I texted Zeke, and I said, hey, listen, I got two kids there in Manhattan. I may have to call on you. He said, dude, we got Overwatch. Don't you worry about it. We'll take care of them. You call me. So we had Zeke Arkham on. We got Damani Felder. Incredible dude. I love Damani. We got Brandon Tatum, who's flying in, coming to the house, coming to the cave and rocking with us. And then we got Xavier DeRusso, who's coming in. I'm like, this is going to be like Urban Corner, bro. We've got black folk everywhere. And I don't even think like that. Like, it doesn't even cross my mind. But when you wake up in the morning to a bunch of messages telling me that I'm a racist bigot, I'm trying to figure out at what point in time they decided that is something they should call somebody without proof. The fact that you could just try to call somebody that without any proof is amazing to me, but they can do that these days. They just tell you. And I always say, I want you to tell me one thing that I've said that's racist. Now, I'm not talking about jokes. I'm not talking about humor. And you say, well, that's racist. That could be racist. Well, then black people are guilty, too, because I got some black friends that tell some pretty good jokes about white people and everything else. So I don't think that's racism. Humor isn't racism. Not like that. Not like what they're saying. You know, the meat in your grocery store aisle, it probably didn't come from America. That's right. It's mystery meat. You don't know where it's from. Not only that, but when you see that product of the USA sticker that's on the meat packaging, it just means that it was packaged in America. It doesn't mean it was raised here. So that's not what our friends over at Backyard Butchers are all about. Listen, they're a Christian conservative Texas-based company that's dedicated to delivering not only the best meat, but the best deals and quality of chicken and beef to you. Their American-raised, American-harvested meat comes from their own backyard, and they deliver across the nation. The meat is grass-fed and grain-finished, meaning that everything they deliver to you is going to taste It's going to taste amazing. Trust me, my freezer is full of it, and I cook it almost daily, if I'm being honest. So cut the frustration in the meat aisle. Go to backyardbutchers.com/Chad. Save an extra 20% off your first order. And if you subscribe, you get another 10% off plus free shipping. So they got over 500,000 happy customers across America, hundreds of five-star reviews, and an American-based customer service team you can trust that you're being taken care of. Again, backyardbutchers.com/Chad is going to get you 20% off of your first order. And if you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% off plus free shipping. That's backyardbutchers.com/Chad. If somebody calls you a racist, here's what you do. Now, if they can point to an issue that you said something or you did something or whatever, even if you made a mistake, be like, yep, okay, I effed up. But I don't know anybody that just is out there judging people based on their skin color like that. I don't know anybody like that. But if somebody calls you that, here's your response. You just say, I want you to go to hell. Simple as that. If you encounter a legit racist, then slap the shit out of them. Tell them to grow up. Tell them to get right with Jesus, you know? But they're going to tell you, and I had a guy the other day who was on my Instagram, and he said, you're just a racist bigot. And you do. I said, please share with me one place where I have been racist. Please tell me where I have discriminated against somebody or encouraged the discrimination against somebody on the basis of their skin color. I'll wait. I'll just wait for you to come back with that. Telling the truth about violent crime in the black community. That's not racism. statistically speaking, about urban cities or the effects of, you know, blue Democrat run urban areas, talking about those, statistics aren't racist. Numbers aren't racist. Facts aren't racist. The truth isn't racist. So when you do that, they're immediately, rather than deal with the truth with you, like they don't want to talk about the fact that, you know, 67% of the black community is fatherless. It's a fact. You know, they don't want to talk about that. That's racist. They don't want to reveal, the media doesn't want to reveal the race of people. If it's a black person who committed a crime, they don't want to do it. When they talk about smash and grab culture or the, you know, the mass looting or protests or riots or burning down cities, they don't want to talk about the race of people. They don't want to do that. It's not racist to talk about that. It's not. They've been told that it is. When you talk about 85% of all Planned Parenthoods, which are not women's health resources, okay, they're abortion clinics. Trust me, their billions of dollars are made off of the murder of unborn babies. 85% of them are within walking distance of urban black communities. Why is that? Well, it might be because the founder, Margaret Sanger, was not only a KKK sympathizer, but she also believed in eugenics, and she said that the blacks should be eradicated like weeds in your yard. And she founded Planned Parenthood, and yet you have the left who's going to tell you to shout your abortion, you know, take your Plan B pill right there on TV while you're doing a news panel, and you're going to say, oh, we got to, you know, women's reproductive rights. That's the phrase, reproductive rights. We're always going to fight and defend for a woman's choice to murder a baby. They're not going to use that word. They're going to change the language. It's called genocide, people. It's called genocide. It's racial genocide because Margaret Sanger set up those clinics to target the black community. Democrats don't want to talk about that. And I'm talking about protecting the unborn. You want to know why the black community, by and large, has been marginalized so much and continues in a minority status, and they don't have demographic clout to be able to make a difference in society to the degree that they want to? It's because they've killed their babies. They've refused to grow their babies, let their babies live, grow up and be contributing parts to society. They've destroyed their community with abortion before they ever even got a chance to live and breathe. So, you know, here we are. Here we are. You're the racist. I'm going to fight for the unborn. I don't care what the skin color is. I'm going to fight for that. You know, Graham Allen, my buddy Graham Allen, who's moving back to Texas, have no clue what that boy keeps running from. That boy's crisscrossed the country over and over again. He moving the family back. You know, they just a year ago adopted a Hispanic baby. And he gets so much crap online saying, oh, we wonder who your wife slept with or whatever. You know, he gets all these. And I mean, come on, dude. This guy, he doesn't see skin color. He doesn't see any of that stuff. And yet people are going to come at him. That's the racism. That's the racism. Look at Biscuit. Biscuit's a black dog. She's trying to get some attention over there. Get down, Biscuit. Quit being crazy. Get down. Scratching on Shy. This idea that, conservatives has always been the racist party. You have no idea what you're talking about. Go read a history book. But again, you can't because they're going to revise all the history books. They're going to tell you, well, there was a big switch. The Democrats used to be the Republicans and the Republicans used to be the Democrats. You know, there's a word for that. It's a compound word. Bullshit. That's not what happened. That is not what happened. Andrew Jackson displaced the Native Americans, pushed them out, pushed them westward. That was a genocide, too. Oh, he was a Democrat. Democrats formed the KKK. Democrats had Jim Crow laws. Democrats were the ones who stood for segregation. George Wallace in Alabama, does that ring any bells? I mean, staunch opposition to integration in the schools in Alabama. A Democrat. Joe Biden. I keep telling people, I was like, would you please show me an example of Donald Trump being racist? God, I hate this topic so much, but it just struck a nerve with me. I want somebody to give me an example of Donald Trump being racist. We talked about it with Zeke the other day. Dated a black woman, funded Jesse Jackson's presidential run, put Jennifer Hudson's family up whenever, you know, the family member got murdered, funded these parks, urban centers. You tell me how all that works. And that guy's a racist. And Joe Biden, urban jungle corn pop Joe Biden, is the last recorded U.S. politician whose voice is recorded using the N-word. And you don't have a problem with that? He's eating fried chicken with a black dad and his kids. He's you're going to talk about, you know, super predators and everything else. You don't vote for me, you're not black. I got the backs of black people. That's what he said. We talk about Obama being smart and clean. Give me those examples about Donald Trump. Give me any of those. The man stood there and eulogized Robert Byrd, who was the grand poobah wizard, secret handshake and everything of the KKK. He eulogized him, one of the finest men I ever knew. Can you imagine if Donald Trump eulogized somebody that used to be a grand wizard of the KKK? And you guys are going to buy into it hook, line, and sinker. You know why? Because the government told you to. The government told you to do that. They made you, and you know how they told you? With money. With money. They bought your vote. So the welfare system's never going to get you out of the pit. The welfare system's going to keep you on the tit, keep you dependent, never going to let you rise out of the situation where you're in. But you'll keep voting those people back in because you know that subsistence is better than non-existence, and so you'll stay on the tit. Reparations are the same thing. Reparations are dangling the carrot in front of black people, in front of the black community, and saying, hey, we're going to give you this. We're going to let you have this. Let's talk about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. You know, for 10 years, they have been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say the only one, trust me, they are the only one. Another thing about them is they've been a partner of this show for a long time, and they're very good personal friends. I love these guys. I know their values, and they're just good people. And I'm happy that they partnered with this show. I'm so proud of them. Patriot Mobile has offered dependable nationwide coverage for a long time, but they give you the ability to access all three major networks now, so you do not have to worry about ever getting out from under a coverage area. You've grown accustomed to having it, so you might as well keep it. But here's the deal. With Patriot Mobile, you don't have to fund the left or their causes, because with the big three, if you pay your bill with them, guess what? They're going to fund things that you don't believe in. It's a fact. It's true. Check it out. Do your research. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support with your hard-earned dollars. You support free speech, the Second Amendment, religious freedom, the sanctity of life. You're going to honor military veterans and our first responder heroes. They got 100% U.S.-based the customer service team that's going to make switching easy. You can keep your number, keep your phone, or you can upgrade. They'll help you. Switching is easy, and their team will even help you find the best plan that fits you and your family's needs. You can go to patriotmobile.com. That's patriotmobile.com. Don't forget to add /Chad on the end of it. Or you can call them on the phone, 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation with promo code C-H-A-D. I spell it Chad. Join me, make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/Chad. That's patriotmobile.com/Chad, or call them, 972-PATRIOT. God, that reminds me of a funny story that Hot News Natalie told me. She called me on the phone the other day from a convention she was doing in L.A. Y'all remember Hot News Natalie from the Blaze show and former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. She works in television. She was out there in L.A. She was production assistant. She had Raphael Warnock. She had Kathleen Blasey Ford. She had Jane Fonda. There were a bunch of people. They were doing this panel of conversations you'd love to hear. It was a big panel of Marxists is what it was. She had this huge panel. She sent me all this list. There were like 25 people, all of them Marxists. And she called me, she said, you will not believe what this person just said on the stage. Person gets on the stage and says, you want to end crime in society? Do you want to end all crime in society? Here's what you do. You give every single American a living wage. You give it to them. She said the place went nuts cheering. You're going to give everybody a living wage. You're going to keep dangling that carrot out there. If you're so stupid as to believe that that would work, I mean, if that's going to end all crime, I don't think you remember the fact that millionaires and billionaires, you know what? They steal things from people all the time. It's not just the impoverished people who are criminals. People steal because they're thieves. People steal because they're sinful. People steal because they got a black, hard heart. People steal because they think they can get the easy road on things. But that's not the deal. That's not the deal. You give everybody a living wage. Let's say I get $100,000 a year. Shy gets $100,000 a year. And you get $100,000 a year. What happens when you lose all of that? What happens when you go to the casino and you lose it all? Boom, you get your $100,000 check right there January 1st, January 2nd. You go to the casino on January 3rd, you gamble all that stuff, and boom, that money is gone. Are we supposed to give you another living wage? Because there'll be people who lose it, there'll be people who spend it, people who squander it. There'll still be people who rob each other. When you lose that living wage, are we supposed to keep giving you that? See, they're dangling that carrot. It's never enough that's going to get you out of the hole. The poverty mentality is a spirit, and they're never going to give you enough to dig you out of that. You can't get enough money to break a poverty spirit. That's why people win the lottery. 12 months later, they're broke again. If you got a poverty spirit, you're going to stay in poverty. You're going to. Come here, Biscuit. Come over here. Come over here. You're driving me crazy. Running all over this stuff. Now she's tangled up in the cords over there. Come over, Biscuit. You're being a bad dog. I'm going to give you a living wage, Biscuit. Get up here. There. Give Biscuit a living wage. Get away from me. You're driving me crazy, dog. Yeah, lay right there. I'm fired up about this stuff, Shy. But see, they'll never give you enough reparations. They'll never give you enough reparations to get you out of that hole. They just never will. See, I can give Biscuit enough to live off of, and, you know, she's fine. She's happy. But if I throw her out in the street, she's got to fend for herself. Now she's got to chase squirrels out here in the woods to feed herself. That's not a life she wants. That's not a life she's accustomed to. I have trained her to take the easy route, to depend on me. If I stop feeding her, she's in trouble. She's going to keep coming back. This morning, she got out from under one of the fences, and she went and explored, you know, a yard down the road a little bit, and I knew what she was going to do. She came right back. You know why? Because she knows this is where the tit is. She knows this is where the bowl is. She knows this is where the bucket is. She knows this is where the food is. They don't feed her down there. She knows if she comes back to this community, she'll be fed here. She'll be cared for. She'll be protected here. Now, she's not going to grow big and fat. She's just going to live her life doing her thing. She's not producing anything. She's not really bringing anything into the household other than some cuteness and a little bit of piss and shit on the floor every now and then. And she brings a little love. She makes me feel pretty good about myself. You know, she gives me unconditional stuff. I lay there in the bed and she snuggles right up to me and sleeps all night long with me. I love that about you, Biscuit. You're a good dog. She'll even roll over and let me pat her belly. Look at that. Yeah, get some. She don't know what to do about it on that table. But you know what? She's content to just keep living like that. Now, you do that with human beings where, hey, here's the food bowl, here's the trough. You keep coming back, and this is what we're going to give you. This is what we're going to give you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to keep coming back, and you're going to keep making sure that the people who put the food in that bowl keep getting put back in power, even though they know you're never going to break off of the plantation. But yet, they're going to turn around and say to you, the person who believes in limited government, small government, no more government overreach, any stuff like that. They're going to turn around. They're going to say to you that you're the racist for trying to help people see the truth, because the truth will set them free. Because we live in a country in the 21st century that inherently these days is not racist. We don't think like that. We have been fully integrated. We literally have lived through generations of people who have worked not to repeat society's ills once again in this country. And we learned that. We learned that. I've never gone to a segregated school. I've never been a part of a segregated team. When I go to do some old theaters around the country, I can still go upstairs into the balcony and they still have a wall where they said this used to be the colored section. But there's no sign there that says coloreds. There's no water fountains out there that say coloreds. There's no window in the restaurant around the back of the building that says coloreds. We don't have that in this country anymore. And so you have not a guarantee of success, but you do have equality of opportunity. I'm not saying that you don't have some hardships to climb out from under, but I can promise you that if you are just simply existing on what the government is doling out to you through their big, gigantic, bureaucratic mammary gland, you are never going to get anywhere in life. At all. At all. So the idea as... Jamal Bowman, Mr. Fire Alarm himself, said that we're going to spend our way into $14 trillion of reparations. Okay, let's say you did get that money. How many of you think that's going to go to the Jefferson family or the Washington family or the Jones family? How much of that? Or do you think those fat cat assholes in Washington, D.C. inside the Beltway, do you think they're going to be enriching themselves? Because I've yet to figure out people like Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, tell me how that woman makes $174,000 a year or whatever a congresswoman's salary is, but now she's worth 20-something million dollars. Tell me how that works. Tell me how that works, because I don't make that kind of money, but I sure as hell would like to figure out how to take a little bit and turn it into millions. Millions. Quit licking me, dog. I'm going to feed you. Yeah. This dog, spoiled rotten. Give you everything you want, right? All right, get down. Hey, look at that. She's like, "What do you mean you're putting me down? What do you mean you're putting me down? Huh? What are you looking at?" Okay. See, those of you who just listen to the podcast, y'all miss all the good stuff. You got to watch this thing. But let me just give you a little piece of history. Okay, I'm gonna go through this. Trump's a racist. You voted for Trump. You're away racist. White Republicans. Okay. Here we go. The GOP, the party responsible for the vast majority of civil rights legislation. Do you hear me? That's what I said. The GOP is the ones responsible for the vast majority of civil rights legislation. You need to do a little history lesson here. The GOP began in a schoolhouse in Wisconsin in 1854. Small assembly of abolitionists came together to bring an end to slavery, led to the political party dedicated to freedom, equal opportunity, civil rights. That's the Republican Party. Formal organization of the GOP took place in July of 1854 at a convention in Jackson, Michigan. Thousands of anti-slavery activists were present. 2 years later, in 1856 in Philadelphia, the GOP Constitution was written at the first Republican National Convention. January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation called for abolishing slavery. The 1864 Republican National Convention followed suit. Now, it takes a little turn here. The KKK was founded in Tennessee in 1866. That's the year after the end of the Civil War. It started as a social club and then spread into just about every state in the South and eventually into the North in various locations. Here's what Columbia University history professor Dr. Eric Foner said. He said, in effect, the Klan was a military force serving the interests of the Democratic Party, the planter class, and all those who desired the restoration of white supremacy. It aimed to destroy the Republican Party's infrastructure, undermine the Reconstruction state, reestablish control of the black labor force, and restore racial subordination in every aspect of Southern life. From 1870 to 1930, Democrats used fraud, lynching, whippings, mutilation, murder, and intimidation to suppress the black population. The Democrats enforced the black codes and Jim Crow laws that legalized racial discrimination and denied blacks equal rights. Gun control measures were enacted to disarm the Negroes and leave them defenseless. That's a literal quote. That is a literal quote. What do you think? Do you understand when they talk about gun control? Who do you think they're disarming? Who do you think they're going to disarm? The black community will be defenseless. When we're pro 2A, that includes black people having guns. I don't know a single person who's ever said, you know what? We don't believe black folks ought to have guns. I've never heard anybody say that. The Second Amendment means every American has the constitutional right to bear arms. Period. This open border policy, what do you think that's doing? Who do you think that's going to displace and hurt the most immediately? The impoverished black community, the urban community. That's who's going to hurt. It was the radical Republican Senator Charles Sumner of Massachusetts who introduced the landmark 1875 Civil Rights Act. In the years following 1900, the solidly Republican women's right movement began to gain steam. Most suffragists, including Susan B. Anthony, favored the GOP. The 19th Amendment guaranteeing women the right to vote was written by a Republican senator and received great support from the Republicans, greater support from the Republicans than from Democrats. It was passed by Congress June 4th, 1919, ratified August 18th, 1920. Prior to the passage and ratification of the 19th Amendment, Republican Jeanette Rankin of Montana in 1916 became the first woman elected to Congress. On June 2nd, 1924, the Republican-controlled 68th Congress and President Calvin Coolidge, I like that guy, granted citizenship to Native Americans with the Indian Citizenship Act, in effect overturned what Andrew Jackson, a Democrat, had done to them generations before. Republican Octaviano Lazarillo of New Mexico in 1928 was sworn in as the first Hispanic U.S. Senator. May 17, 1954, the legendary Brown versus Board of Education ruling struck down racial segregation in public schools. The majority decision was written by Chief Justice Earl Warren, the former California Republican government and vice presidential nominee. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who appointed Judge Warren, sent Congress a proposal for civil rights legislation. The end result was the Civil Rights Act of 1957, which established the civil rights section of the Justice Department. Are you getting the picture yet? August 21st, 1959, Republican Hiram Fong of Hawaii became the first Asian American elected to the U.S. Senate. It's a pretty diverse crowd we're talking about. June 10, 1964, Republican Senate Minority Leader Everett Dirksen of Illinois broke a Democratic filibuster and passed the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The House version of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was embraced by 80% of Republicans, but supported only 61% of that chamber's Democrats. In the final Senate vote on the act, it received 82% support from Republicans and was opposed by 69% Democrats. 94% of Senate Republicans voted in favor of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 versus 73% of Democrats. The final vote on the House version was even starker because only one Senate Republican voted against it while 17 Democrats opposed it. In the House, 82% of Republicans supported the bill versus 78% of Democrats on September 25, 1981. See, I'm still trying to figure out when that switch happened. When the Democrats became the Republicans and the Republicans became the Democrats. See, we've already gone back into the 1800s. I'm trying to figure out where that stupid switch y'all keep talking about happened. Because it seems to me like consistently since the founding of the GOP, Republicans have been pretty staunchly in defense of minorities and women. I'm trying to figure it out. 1981, Ronald Reagan appointed Sandra Day O'Connor to become the first woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. How about that? Interesting. Oh, but their policy. Okay, let's talk about policy. Let's talk about welfare reform. You ready? GOP efforts were meant to give people their dignity back. Liberals want to keep as many people as possible dependent on the government. That's what we've established. So that they have no choice but to support the party of government. It's a vicious, never-ending cycle on the new liberal plantation. Gun control. We alluded to that. Democrats passed laws to disarm blacks so they could kill them. I mean, it's hard to lynch somebody that's got a gun. It's hard to whip somebody when they can shoot back. And I don't know, the KKK and Jim Crow laws didn't do a whole lot for the black community. I'm trying to figure that out. People say, oh, you got the, you know, the Tulsa, you know, they wiped people out in Tulsa in 1919. Yeah, look who did it. The black community was destroyed in Tulsa in 1919. I mean, it was a mass slaughter. Look who did it. Read a freaking history book. I got called a racist this morning. I'm just trying to give them a little history lesson here, Shy. That's it. Every Republican I know wants every citizen in America to be able to arm themselves and defend themselves. Every single one of them. Illegal immigration. Illegal workers steal jobs from black and Hispanic laborers who are in this country legally. Democrats want endless illegal immigration, open borders to gain more Democratic votes. Abortion. Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger was a known racist. Abortion was her way of reducing the black population. There you go. That's enough history right there. I mean, who are you gonna point to? Remember when Kamala Harris in the first Democratic debate, Joe Biden standing up there, doesn't know where he's at. It's the primaries, right? And Kamala Harris gets up there and she said, Joe, I'm not going to call you a racist, but I was that little black girl on that school bus. I was that little black girl on that school bus. And you were against busing. And you know what they failed to tell anybody? Is that she actually supported the exact same damn bill. The one she accused Joe of supporting and basically called him a racist for supporting. She supported the exact same thing. It was Kamala Harris. And by the way, Kamala's not black. Her father's Jamaican. Her mother is what, Pakistani or Indian? She's Indian. You know, Kamala Harris was raised in Canada. She was raised in Canada, for crying out loud. Her parents were middle class. They both had white-collar jobs. Her mother was a medical professional in a hospital. Her father was an economics professor at Stanford University. You notice Doug Emhoff, they never let you see Doug Emhoff, her husband, because he's white. And that would destroy the narrative. And, you know, she tries to paint herself as being somebody that lived the black experience, you know. And, again, she played the race card on Joe Biden. And everybody wanted to complain to Joe. But, yeah, she held the same position as Joe on the school busing issue. So it's kind of a hypocritical thing to do. That all fell apart. I mean, they have, but everybody, who, Elizabeth Warren, you know, Elizabeth Warren, who got, you know, a scholarship on the basis of being a Native American. And she said it was because she had a high cheekbones. That's like saying I'm Jewish because I got a big nose. I mean, how stereotypical racist can you be? To say because somebody has high cheekbones that I must be Native American. And then to take taxpayer money, to take, you know, donated money for scholarships, to take trusts away from somebody who deserved it. And then she takes a DNA test and you know how much she's got? Nada. Statistically non-existent. I mean, she has got a sliver, a fraction. None. You and I have just as much, if not more, as just like Sarah Gonzalez. Sarah Gonzalez took her DNA test. She swore she would never do it. A couple of months ago, she did it. She discovered that she's like 8% sub-Saharan African. There ain't nothing black about Sarah Gonzalez, but she's going to play it. She's going to play it. She wants her reparations. She wants her reparations on her affirmative action. She's black now. But Elizabeth Warren couldn't do that. What about Beto O'Rourke? Robert Francis O'Rourke. He's a freaking white Irish guy, and he takes the name Beto, and he's going to run for office in Texas. He's going to run for the, you know, Senate in the U.S. He's going to run for president, and he's going to call himself Beto, going to give himself a Hispanic nickname. I don't know what it takes. I mean, can you imagine if Donald Trump, you know, started calling himself, God, I don't even want to say. I don't even want to give somebody a racial nickname. I don't even want to do it. I can't even think of one, honestly. Not a good one. But imagine if Donald Trump or somebody like that did that. Imagine if Ted Cruz did it. I mean, how much do you say, well, Ted Cruz isn't even from Texas. He's not even American. He was born in Canada. His father's Cuban. What are you going to do about Kamala Harris, dumbass? She's Indian and Jamaican, and she grew up in Canada, for crying out loud. And she's a vice president. You don't have anybody out there saying that kind of stuff because they've stuck their head in the sand. They've erased history. They don't care anymore. You got to push that fake racial narrative to gain political power. Get off the plantation, folks. That's all I can tell you. I just want to give you a little history lesson there because I can't. And I was reading, by the way, from one of my favorite books. I keep giving this thing to you. 13 and a half Reasons Not to Be a Liberal. My buddy Judd Dunning. Such a great book. Such a great book. I mean, Judd's got such a great sense of humor. Go to camera 2 on that thing. Let's see if we can see it any better. No, maybe not. Go to this camera. See if we can do that one. And get the glare off of it. All right. Look at all this. I feel like Silas Marner over here. I just want to run my fingers through my gold and silver, you know? I just want to just feel the money. Feel the money. It's all in plastic cases. PraetherTees.com. PraetherTees.com is where I want you to go to help me close out some of this inventory we got on t-shirts. And I want you to go to watchchad.com. Just booked another show in Florida. Got tons of stuff always in Florida. At the end of the year, we just booked some more shows over in St. Cloud. So check them out. Look down the calendar a little bit. Maybe you guys want to travel for a weekend. Come hang and eat some barbecue with me in Kansas City. And you see that weekend's, you know, a few months out. Plan some travel. Come hang out. Let's do this thing. Rock and roll. But go to watchchad.com for all the fun stuff is. And I just can't tell you how much of a blessing it is that you guys let me get on here and rant and rave and bitch. It's so therapeutic. So therapeutic. And I promise you, you know, whenever Mission Studios, when they said, hey, we got a producer for you, I was nervous. I was nervous, Shy, because I was like, you know, some people could sit over in the corner and judge me. And I'm not saying you don't. You might. I don't know. But you still look like you're pretty good. You look happy. But I have, you know, I was like nervous. I was like, oh, we're going to hire somebody kind of sight unseen. I'm telling you, I could not have received a bigger blessing in this world when they sent me Scheider Davina, man. Ah, yeah. You're not leaving. You can't leave. You can't leave. You can never. Look what's in here. It's a Chad Prather 22. It's a campaign pen right there. Look at that's vintage, baby. Look at that thing right there. Look at the camera. You can't see it. Bam. Got my little mug on it. It's that same picture that's hanging on the wall over there, Sean. Same kind of deal. That's what that person painted. All right, guys. I love you. I appreciate you. We always appreciate the ratings and the reviews and the shares and all the kind of stuff that you can do. If you're on X, on Twitter, on Instagram, share it. Share the episode to your story. Put our link somewhere in your social media. And as always, go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go to YouTube, all the places that you are, and search my name, Chad Prather. Type it in the search bar, hit enter, and boom, see what pops up. You might find that you're not following me anymore. That's what a lot of people are finding. But I want to kind of wake that algorithm beast back up, and I think we can do that if you're telling the overlords, the social media, big tech